In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If Jesus' expression, "You have turned my Father's house into a marketplace," sounds a bit odd to you from this morning's gospel, it's probably because the other gospel writers, when they are talking about this episode in the life of Jesus, use a different word. In Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke, Jesus says, "You have turned my Father's house into a den of thieves," or "a den of robbers." Does that sound more familiar to you? It would have sounded familiar to the Jews that Jesus was speaking to as well, because that expression, "den of thieves" or "den of robbers," had been used before in precisely this sort of situation. Jesus was not the first person to make a scene of this sort in the courts of the temple. Hundreds of years before, in the time of the first temple, before the Jews had been exiled to Babylon, a prophet received a word from the Lord. He walks into the court of the temple and he starts yelling the following: "Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah, you that enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and let me dwell with you in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words, 'This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord.' For if you truly amend your ways and your doings, if you truly act justly with another, if you do not oppress the alien, the orphan, and the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own hurt, then I will dwell with you in this place, and the land that I gave you of old to your ancestors forever and ever." Here you are, trusting in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, 'We are safe,' only to go on doing all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your sight?" That was the prophet Jeremiah. And he was sent by God to Judah to warn them that if they didn't change their ways, that this temple would not save them. He was there to call them out on not taking seriously the presence of God there, not taking seriously God's commandments, which we've heard twice this morning already. And Jeremiah was proved to be right. Because not long after he created this dramatic scene in the courts of the temple, the Babylonian army invaded, the temple and Jerusalem were destroyed, and many people hauled off into Persia and into slavery. Now, fast forward about 600 years. The temple has been rebuilt, even more gloriously reconstructed. Herod had renovated it some years before, or started renovating it, and it was the most awesome and majestic thing anyone in that region had seen. It was a fitting home for their mighty God, and although they knew that the whole universe belonged to God and that he couldn't merely be contained in a house built with human hands, Still, there was no denying to any of them that there was something special about that place that needed to be honored. And into this grand, spectacular new temple walks another Hebrew prophet. And what does he see? He sees many of the same things that Jeremiah saw when he walked in so many hundred years before. People profaning the temple. People disrespecting the sanctity of God. People acting as if this is just another marketplace to buy and sell their wares. Another mall in which to practice the art of swindling their neighbor. Was this what God's temple was meant to be? Where was the holiness? Where was the respect? Where was the desire and longing to be saved and changed by the power that the temple was dedicated to? So Jesus does the same thing that Jeremiah did. He calls them out on it. He yells at them. He scolds them. And even more, he actually makes a whip and chases them out of the temple, knocks their tables over, dumps their money out on the floor. He gets into a real, actual fight. And for those who love to throw Jesus' turn the other cheek phrase around all the time, this scene's a bit of a problem. Jesus isn't being meek and passive here. He is boldly and physically defending the sanctity of the temple. But why? What could make Jesus, the man whom we associate with love and peace and mercy, what could make him all of a sudden so angry that he would lash out this way? Well, maybe it is precisely because Jesus is a man of love that he does so. Maybe it is the very love that Jesus has for us that makes him capable of getting so angry in this moment. If you've ever witnessed a parent scolding a child that has just run out into the street without looking, or if you have ever been that parent scolding the child, then you probably know that the anger being expressed in that moment comes directly from the love for the child. The anger does not stem from the child's disobedience as much as it does from the knowledge that in being disobedient, the child has placed him or herself in grave danger. In grave danger. And I think that that is what Jesus sees when he looks at that temple and looks at all those people. Not that they are taking the temple seriously, but that they're not taking it seriously enough. They're not taking God's presence there and God's commandments and God's call to sanctity and holiness seriously enough. And that is putting them in grave danger. The money changers in the temple, those who were profaning it by turning it into just another marketplace, they weren't hurting Jesus personally. Jesus was used to personal insults. He was used to attacks. They weren't hurting him that way. They didn't threaten him, nor were they hurting God, for that matter. But in their action of defiling a sacred place and not taking God and God's temple seriously, they were doing great harm to themselves and to everyone who was seeking God there. And that is something that Jesus would not and could not ignore. When God had spoken to the prophet Jeremiah so many hundred years before about those defiling the temple, he said to him, "Is it I whom they provoke? Or is it not themselves to their own hurt?" Defiling and disrespecting sacred things in our lives does nothing to God. It doesn't hurt God, doesn't punish God. It doesn't make God suffer like we are suffering. We cannot hurt or injure a force that is so much greater than us. But irreverence can do immeasurable damage to ourselves. It puts us at the center of our universe and not God. It blinds us to the sin in our own lives. It blinds us to the light of God in the lives of others. And gradually, less and less of our life has meaning, and we become emptier and emptier and weaker and weaker. We are the ones who are profoundly hurt when we fail to recognize and honor the sacred things in our lives. We are the ones who are separated from the source of our life and our strength. The temple that Jesus was speaking in was indeed torn down again. About 30 years after Jesus creates this scene, the Roman army marches in, destroys the temple, leaving only a few walls to hint at its former glory. And yet, God is still worshipped and adored there. People still sense and feel his presence, now perhaps as much as ever. God has not been hurt or hindered, but perhaps we have. And in short order, after Jesus' speech, the temple that Jesus was speaking with, his body, that too would be destroyed by the Romans. And yet, we as Christians believe that 3 days later, he rose again, is still alive and worshipped and adored and active in the world now as much as ever. That temple couldn't be destroyed for permanently. God couldn't be held down. God couldn't be restrained by our actions. And yet, along the way, our actions have made us suffer so much, have hurt us and hurt others so much. We do not hurt God by disrespecting sacred things or sacred places or sacred rituals. We hurt ourselves. We need to pay attention in our lives to the things that are sacred. We need to defend them, not just from others, but from our own disrespect, from our own lack of enthusiasm, from our own lack of paying attention to the things that are supposed to be set aside, that are supposed to be lifted up, held in esteem. We have to defend the sacred in our lives, not just from what others may do to it, but from what we ourselves may do to it. And we have to do this not for God's sake, but for our own. Amen.